I didn't even realize I was wasting $415 a month until I downloaded Rocket Money. I thought I had my finances under control until the app laid out all my spending and categorized it for me. Takeout, shopping, and unused subscriptions were quietly draining my account. And as a result, my savings took a back seat. But Rocket Money doesn't just tell you what you're wasting money on. It takes action to save you money. First, the app looks at your income and monthly expenses and calculates how much you can safely spend each day to stay under budget. Rocket Money also finds and cancels unwanted subscriptions for you and even negotiates better rates on your bills so you have more money in your pocket. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. It's time to simplify your finances and take control of your money. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Come on.
Welcome to Lifeblood. This is George G, and the time is right. Welcome to today's guest, the strong and powerful Juliana Lamb. Juliana, are you ready to do this?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Juliana is the co-founder and CTO at Stitch. They're an organization helping companies go passwordless, improving security and user experience. Juliana, tell us a little bit about your personal life, some more about your work, and why you do what you do.
Awesome. So I grew up in a ski town in Idaho. So I'm now in San Francisco working, as a software engineer and founder, come a long way in the past 10 plus years. And I think a lot of sort of why I have gotten into entrepreneurship is just growing up, spending a lot of time pursuing my passions. And that happened to be figure skating growing up. So definitely a very different career now. But I think from an early age, I was just taught to really sort of dream big and that, you know, hard work does pay off. And so I felt like I've looked for different passions to pursue and really given it my all. So I started studying computer science when I got to Stanford and have sort of stuck with that ever since. I think what I really enjoyed about computer science and building things is that you can have a really massive impact and, you know, build something that people are going to use, are going to get value from. And so I've sort of continued to follow that passion since and somehow ended up in sort of like the developer tool space, which I think if you told me, you know, 10, 15 years ago that I was going to dedicate my life to building developer infrastructure, I probably would have had no idea what you were talking about. But I think the value there is that not only are you building things for individuals, but you're building something that different companies are going to use and is going to have an impact on their end users. And so the scale of impact you can have working in this space is really massive. And I think that's one of the things that gets me excited about it. And what we're doing here at Stitch is helping companies transition to passwordless authentication. From previous experiences, we saw how hard it was for developers to build their user authentication systems, but then also how broken sort of authentication is on the web today. We're still relying on passwords, which we've relied on since sort of the birth of the web. Technology has come so far. The way that you use online accounts has evolved so much. We have just so many different online accounts today, and the password hasn't really scaled with that. And so there's all these different ways that you can now authenticate online, and we're trying to make it easier for companies to sort of modernize their authentication.
Nice. Fascinating. Well, certainly congratulations on the journey so far and all the growth. It's pretty incredible to grow up in a small town, figure skating off to Stanford, become an engineer, and then from that to make the leap to entrepreneurship, and then again to I don't know if I'm using the right language or not, to make another leap to raising $30 million in funding. That's pretty extraordinary.
Yeah, definitely. I would say it's been a bit of a whirlwind starting this company over the past 18 months or so. I think I definitely have spent a long time sort of in the startup space and wasn't even sure that I wanted to be a founder when I was sort of starting out in software engineering. But then I think seeing what people were building and sort of the impact you could have as a founder, I started to get more interested in it. But yeah, definitely. If you told me where we'd be today when we were first starting out, I think, my co-founder and I were trying to decide if we quit our jobs in May of 2020, which was probably not the best time to be quitting a job and going out on our own. But been really fortunate to, I think be built. That thing.
Yeah, no, that's super exciting. So, just I'm fascinated by how people's brains work because I imagine that you and I can look at the same set of facts or problems and really view things very differently. As you are evaluating your, and correct me if I'm wrong, it's your goal to help organizations go passwordless, improve security on the internet and in life. And with so many different technologies changing, how do you evaluate what tools to use to serve your clients?
Yeah, it's a really good question. And I think it's part of the reason that what we're building has a ton of value is just helping people navigate that. Because I think using username and password to log in to a site is a super known pattern. People know what that looks like, right? And so now you have all of these different ways that you can authenticate, and sort of figuring out, which ones make sense when and where, can be really challenging. Some of the examples there would be like SMS, one-time passcodes, email magic links. You can use OAuth, like sign in with Google and Facebook. You can use, there's a new standard called WebAuthn that lets you do Touch ID on your Mac, et cetera. So there's all these different things that you can sort of use and put together in different combinations to build your user authentication. And so a lot of what we do is sort of your question, right? It's like, how do you figure out which ones of these make sense? Some things we think about are sort of the like security of it. How could somebody potentially take over an account if they gained access? And how easy would it be for them to gain access to that sort of device or core account? This like magnitude of people that this might work for. So WebAuthn, for example, that Touch ID authentication method, really secure. You have to basically take over the physical device, right? But not every phone or laptop has biometrics built in, so it's not sort of universally applicable. If you lose that phone or laptop, all of a sudden you have to figure out how to recover the account as well. And so that can introduce a lot of complexity. And so it's sort of like thinking through all of these things, but then also thinking through like what you're protecting with this authentication. Something that we are big fans of is what we call sort of like right sizing and just-in-time authentication. So if you're getting read access to one of your accounts, that's a pretty low risk interaction that you're going to do. And so the level of security that you need to get read access from your account is probably very different than the level of access to get write access to that account. So if you want to go and move money now, or you want to change a shipping address, those are really big fraud vectors. And so that's when you should layer in sort of additional factors of security, like maybe, the SMS or a biometric authentication, whereas sort of getting initial access to the account could be something really sort of simple, like an email magic link. And so this is what we spend a lot of time sort of thinking through, is like, what are fraud vectors or risk vectors associated with these different authentication methods? What is the sort of experience for the user of these different authentication methods? Are you introducing the right amount of friction at the right point in time? And then thinking through things like, Do you have primarily a mobile app or mobile and desktop? All of these things can mean very different sort of user experiences. SMS on mobile, for example, is really fantastic. You have the autofill where you can sort of one tap the passcode and it'll log you in right there. Whereas desktop email tends to perform very well. So there's a bunch of like sort of complexity that goes into making these decisions. And that's what we spend a lot of time thinking about and then also helping our customers think through.
Yeah, certainly a lot. How do you need to understand how it works, or do you or perhaps is it possible for you to understand how all these technologies work? Obviously, you're the founder, you're the chief technology officer. I don't know if I'm asking the right question or not.
Want to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, I think understanding how all of these work is pretty important for us. And part of our goal is to abstract that away from our customers to some degree, because there's a lot of complexity here. The space is evolving as well. And so having a really good understanding of, you know, what's going on behind the scenes, I think is pretty important. And then that helps us communicate to our customers like what they need to know and understand as well. We aim to make it really simple to integrate all of these things so that you know, you can just like drop in a couple lines of code and get up and running and not have to go and do a ton of research into like the web auth end specification, because that's probably not what your average company should be spending their time thinking about.
Right.
But for us, that's sort of core to what we do.
What are you, are there certain things that you're seeing on the horizon that you're super excited about?
Yeah, I think just like the prevalence of biometric authentication, this new WebAuthn specification is really interesting. It just makes it easier to do biometrics on different devices. I think that when you're talking about like user experience and security is kind of like a win-win situation. Then there's like a bunch of edge cases you have to think through with like the device loss, et cetera. But I think the increasing prevalence of biometrics will help to both secure accounts and make it easier for you to log into all of yours. I think there's interesting stuff happening with Web3 as well. I think that really changes how you sort of view online identities. And aims to give like consumers more control. I think that'll be a trend that happens sort of regardless of giving you as a user a little bit more like visibility into your accounts, ownership over them. Something we talk about a lot is sort of being that like identity layer where you can maybe see all of your like connected Stitch accounts. in the future and like be able to provision or deprovision data to different companies. I think that like consumer ownership of your identity is something that will probably continue to evolve over, you know, the next decade or so. So I'm excited to see what that looks like. I think we're still really in the early days. So I don't know exactly what that will mean for people, but I think that we'll see this shift continuing to happen.
Yeah, fascinating. And you mentioned that certainly the tool that you're using to protect something is essential, but then it's also super important to be mindful of what it is that you're actually protecting. And something that just kind of jumped into my head, and it could be way off the wall and not something that you're involved with at all, but just how do we know that what we're watching or listening to is actually the authentic thing? So, for example, if the president were to make some kind of a statement and then somebody took it and altered it using some kind of a new technology, so he or she says something that's totally different, is there a way for us through authentication or security to know that, nope, that's fake, or no, that's actually real?
Yeah, so not something that we focus too much on, but I do think this like sort of Web3 evolution will address some of that, where now you can like sign stuff basically and have like that sort of, I guess, yeah, signature on something that's online. So you can like sign an image or a video or whatever it might be and like show the authenticity of it. So I think that will be something that's really interesting where, there is this problem of like, one, just sort of lack of like ownership over online assets. You don't really sort of like own anything online for the most part today, the way you might own like artwork or your house even, right? And so being able to sort of have that ownership. And then with that comes that sort of signature of authenticity of like, is that the original artwork or is this a fake or something, which I think can be really interesting when you're talking about some of these problems around sort of like the fake news or these like deep fakes where people are, creating videos that look like a real person, right? But it's completely made up. And so I think that'll be something that we continue to like need to prioritize as well, because I think, the web has just evolved so much in the past 10 years. And so I think in a lot of ways, like the way that we use it hasn't necessarily kept up with the pace of adoption and just like how much we do online today. And so it'll be really interesting to see this trend that's sort of happening that has that bigger focus on like ownership and authenticity online.
So it's to a degree going to be pretty funny in 50 years, people are going to look back at how we interacted with important information on the internet and be like, oh my gosh, they just put their information out there and anybody could see it.
Yeah, definitely. That's what we spend a lot of time thinking about is like, what is that going to look like, right? And how are we building for that future? Because I think we're pretty confident that it's not going to look like it looks like today. And
right. We
have a lot of ideas of what it'll be. But I think, we'll probably all look back and laugh at just how we interacted with all of our online accounts and data and all of that.
Just fascinating, right? How do you keep yourself secure and your information secure and all of that as things continue to change and do so quickly? So I feel like you and Stitch are going to be relevant for a long time, Juliana.
Amazing.
At least hopefully anyway, right?
That's the plan.
I like it. Well, Juliana, the people are ready for your difference-making tip. What do you have for them?
I think paying attention to how you authenticate with all of your online accounts, being really mindful of, not reusing passwords across a ton of different online accounts, and making sure that, you have really top level security, two-factor, et cetera, with your most important accounts like email, bank account, et cetera. I think, we're hoping to make this even easier for you in the future, but I think if you were to, take one thing away from this is that It's being mindful of the passwords that you do have, making sure they're secure, making sure you're locking down your important accounts, because there's a lot of sort of fraud risk out there, and you can be you can take action today to help protect yourself.
Well, I think that is great stuff. That definitely gets come on. Juliana, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you and Stitch?
Awesome. Thanks for having me. You can check out stitch.com or my personal Twitter is Juliana Elam. I'm pretty active on there.
Excellent. Well, if you enjoyed this as much as I did, show Juliana your appreciation and share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to stitch.com. That's STYTCH.com. Follow Juliana on Twitter. I'll list both of those in the notes of the show. Thanks again, Juliana.
Thanks for having me.
And until next time, keep fighting the good fight. We are all in this together.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. There was a recent social media trend which consisted of flying on a plane with no music, no movies, no entertainment. But a better trend would be going to ChumbaCasino.com. It's like having a mini social casino in your pocket. Chumba Casino has over 100 online casino-style games, all absolutely free. It's the most fun you can have online and on a plane. So grab your free welcome bonus now at ChumbaCasino.com. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Car Guru's Discover, you can skip the filters and describe what you're looking for in your own words. Simply type what you want, and Car Guru's Discover instantly surfaces real listings that match your exact needs. It's no wonder Car Guru's is the number one most visited car shopping site, according to SimilarWeb's estimated traffic data. Buy or sell your next car today with Car Guru's at CarGurus.com. Go to CarGurus.com to make sure your big deal is the best deal. That's CarGurus.com. CarGurus.com.
Weight Watchers now offers access to affordable GLP-1s. It works for members like...
I'm Haley, and I've lost 100 pounds. Weight Watchers has everything I need, from weight loss medications to nutrition support and help with my side effects. It's all in one place.
Weight Watchers handles the insurance for you and offers affordable cash pay options. With our program, our members are losing more weight with expert nutrition and side effect support.
I'm Mike, and I've lost 135 pounds. Weight Watchers prescribing GLP-1 medications, it's been life-changing.
I'm Sharia, and I lost 80 pounds on Weight Watchers. I realized that it would take more than a prescription to lose weight and feel good on a GLP-1.
Better results, expert support, lose more weight, make it last.
I can't imagine doing a GLP-1 without Weight Watchers.
Get started for as low as $25 at weightwatchers.com/GLP-1. For over 60 years, we've helped millions of members find what works for them. Now, it's your turn. Weight Watchers. Watch it work.